We're the Inspire Podcast. We're dedicated to bringing you the latest research in medicine, dentistry, veterinary medicine, and everything in between, from both students and academics in a language everyone can understand.
If you want to get in touch, please email us at inspiredjournalpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Inspired Journal Podcast to stay up to date. Visit the journal's website at www.inspirestudentjournal.co.uk to access original research and articles from students or find out about how you can get more involved.
In today's episode, we're embarking on another episode of Myth Constructors. So for those of you who don't know what this is all about, we take a clearly false statement, usually clearly false, and we try to construct an argument based on as good research as we can possibly find as to why this statement could be true. The overall aim is just to demonstrate how even completely false statements can be supported by good research, if you're willing to be sneaky enough. So what have we got for today, guys? What's the title?
So we've got shaving your hair using a razor makes it grow back thicker or stronger. So that's quite a common one. I feel like we've all heard that one.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. I remember being told that when I was younger with my you're a guy and you get like the first few hairs coming in your chin. And you're told, don't shave it because then it will just grow back thicker. And, you know, obviously, well, we'll find out whether it's true, won't we? But
yeah, I
remember it well. So it will be I guess one interesting angle that we might take on it is what hair are we talking about? Because I found in some of my research, not all hair is created equal.
That is very true. We will. So to kick off, I'll talk about my article. So my article is called Methods of Hair Removal, and it's published in the Journal of American Academy of Dermatology a little while back. So it was published in 1999, but I think some of the principles that it talks about still holds true. So one of the, I think, salient points that came out of this article was that, like Sam rightly mentioned, that there is different types of hair and different kind of in different parts of the body, and they have different kind of growth rates, they have different thicknesses, and that all makes a difference on this kind of statement that we're trying to prove, disprove, about shaving making hair grow back faster and stronger. Stuff that affects it would be, so a couple of things that they said was number of total hairs, number of terminal hairs, the mean width, hair width, and hair weight also makes a difference. So in terms of shaving, so I think it's more about the perception. So this article basically said that it doesn't make it grow faster and it doesn't make it grow stronger. It's more about the perception of how we kind of feel the hair and see the hair. So in neonatal mice, shaving would trigger a switch from synchronous telogen to anagen. So what that means is telogen is the stop of growth hair and anagen is the increase of growth hair. So a study said that it may trigger a simultaneous growth and stopping of hair. So, but that was actually false and it doesn't apply to humans, I think, is what this article implies. Shaving does not affect the rate or duration of anagen phase or the diameter of human hair. So because it doesn't, it's not going to make your hair grow faster. So it kind of disproves that part of the statement, as well as the fact that hair comes up thicker is from, so usually natural hair has a tapered end. So when you shave it, the bottom part of the hair is thicker and straighter and sharper. So that's why when that comes up, you think that it's thicker, but it's actually just the bottom part of the hair.
Oh, so it's just about how we think about it.
Yeah.
There's literally no difference in diameter.
No, it doesn't seem to be. That's what this article says. It's more of an illusion rather than an actual difference.
Wow.
Also, I wonder whether, like, when you shave hair, it will grow back more uniform, won't it? So, like, whereas before, like, if you have, like, new hairs, they'll have started growing at, like, different times. When you shave it, it grows back. It's going to be, like, a more uniform mass. So
yeah.
It's going to seem thicker, when actually it's just more even. So,
that's true.
Yeah. We kind of busted the myth more than constructed it, though.
But. Yeah.
No, I love it. I think that's really interesting because it's really just that tapered end then. Because naturally you'd have the tapered end, but if you cut that off, you're just left with a cylinder.
Yeah.
And that, like, naturally, I guess, looks more stumpy and stubbly.
Yeah.
So does that mean that, like, say you're, like, for me, I don't shave my arm hairs. So they're probably, like, tapered and they look a bit thinner than, like, my leg hairs would because I shave my legs.
Mm-hmm.
No, what's interesting though is that just purely like looking now, but I have shaved my arm hair before, but if I look at my arm hair now, it is tapered again. So is there like a tapering process of hairs that grow back?
Do you reckon it's because they're like they get thinner like as stuff gets longer, like, you know, when your hair breaks off, like if you're growing your hair long and you don't get it trimmed for so long, then it starts to split at the end and just get a bit thinner, which is why you have to constantly trim your hair if you're trying to get it to grow long. Then it reaches a point, because otherwise your arm hair would grow forever. It would just grow forever, but it doesn't, does it?
It might be that it kind of grows and then there's like natural shedding of hair, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like just natural shedding and then your hair kind of grows back in the same. It's a cyclical thing. So when it grows back again, it just grows back naturally and then you have the tapered end and it's natural hair process, which is why other techniques such as, like, I don't know if you've heard, like, waxing or like epilating, which is basically a form of waxing where multiple hairs are taken out from their root. So that leaves a more smoother finish because you don't have the cylindrical parts of the hair or the lower shafts of the hair remaining, like, left behind. So you get a smoother, I think that might be, or the smoothest because, like, you know, you're also smoothing out the skin and like dead skin cells and stuff around it. It might be that. I'm not entirely sure. But I think from my understanding, that might be the reason.
I suppose if you waxed as well, it would take longer to grow back, wouldn't it? Because you pulled it out from the roots.
Exactly.
So technically, in comparison, shaving does make it grow back faster, but not faster than normal growth, just faster as if you'd waxed.
Yeah.
Yes, in relative.
Relatively faster, but no thicker. Mine kind of says the same thing. I feel like we haven't done a good job of constructing this myth today. Definitely more myth busting, but I went way back. I've got a couple of different articles. So this one is called Shaving and Hair Growth by Linfield and McWilliams. And this is from 1970, but they do reference the OG of this sort of myth. And that was a guy called Trotter who did an experiment on this in 1928. I really did try and find his paper, but it's just not available anywhere. But Trotter did a similar experiment to this guy, which I'll get to in a minute. But he did something else, which was performing a differential hair count. So wanting to see how many hairs were in telogen. So he bleached his hair on his legs, allowed it to grow for 2 weeks, and then shaved it and examined it for pigmented hair shafts with indicated growth since bleaching, and basically there was no difference between the leg that he shaved and the leg that he didn't shave. So I guess that tells us that there's no real difference in hair growth. But this guy got five men, and they all had their leg hair shaved with a straight razor, and one left to grow for another 3 weeks, and then they measured an area on each leg and collected the shavings. I don't really understand, but they collected some shavings. Then they measured the length and the width of the hairs after this 3 week growth and sort of, yeah, did all of that. And they came up with this equation, W equals KAND squared DL, which sounds really complicated. But W is the weight of the hair that's produced. K is our constant. A is the ratio of anagen hairs to total hairs. N is the number of hair follicles, D is the diameter, the small d is the density, and L is the increase in length. And basically, the only thing that got W, the weight of the hair, to vary was A, which is the ratio of anagen hairs, but there was no significant change in anything else. And they basically concluded that, yeah, it's exactly the same. There was no hair does not, shaving does not make your hair grow faster or stimulate new hairs to grow.
That's quite interesting. I mean, one thing to note though, both genders were male in that,
yeah,
versus female, so there was no difference. I mean, I think the cycle of hair growth or the natural process of hair growth doesn't change that much between both genders, but the rate would. So, because I think from my study, it said that I think females, depending on obviously the hair type and the area, they have a shorter period, like, so it takes a less amount of time for the hair to grow as compared to males.
Right, okay.
Just naturally, just through like studies and what they've found.
It's also influenced by lots of things, isn't it? Like, mm-hmm, nutrition.
Exactly.
I suppose, yeah. And temperature, like that's all got to affect how much your hair grows.
Yeah.
Hair is like one of those things, that there are so many things that cause hair loss. Obviously, like a certain amount of hair loss is like needed in order to, you know, keep knocking out old hairs and keep growing in new ones. But I think, yeah, one thing that those studies haven't really looked at is like the difference between like scalp hair, body hair, pubic hair. Like, how does it differ? Because it's qualitatively quite different if you think about it. Like, different kinds of hair on your body are very different, and it's like, what are going to be the differences there? And like, some of them are under the mediation of different like cellular processes as well in terms of how they grow. So one of the things in men is like the paradoxical nature of androgenic alopecia, where, you know, men go bald but yet they can still grow beards and still be furry. So it's like somatically furry.
So, furry.
Yeah. So it's like there are different regulatory processes for different kinds of hair. And actually, interestingly, I found out that that is something that humans evolve specifically, sexual dimorphism in hair growth. The control of human hair growth via pretty much only androgens, so male hormone, male sex hormones, is a unique human thing that isn't seen in other apes. Which, if you look at an ape and you look at humans, makes sense, because it's like there's no to the naked eye. Actually, maybe even in a like a scientific sense, there's no difference between female chimpanzee and male chimpanzee when it comes to their hair. Whereas with humans, there are striking differences between a male and a female when it comes to hair. And apparently that's a specifically evolved human thing. And it has to do with the type of keratin that has evolved in humans and apes. That kind of goes on to some of the stuff that I found. So I'll try to construct... I haven't found a specific study that says that these things are the case, but I want to look a little bit at androgenic alopecia and like what kind of studies would we need in order to prove that this is the case, and like what indications might there be. So just like as a very quick rundown of how androgenic alopecia works. So most hair growth in humans is regulated by androgen somewhere. And the main one that we think about is dihydrotestosterone, or DHT. So when we're thinking about like what inhibits hair growth, DHT has a role in inhibiting hair growth. And DHT is synthesized from testosterone. So you need testosterone to then be switched into DHT, which will then inhibit hair growth, basically. But strangely, so what they find is men who show male pattern hair loss, especially like at a younger age, tend to actually have lower levels of testosterone and other male sex hormones, which like immediately doesn't quite make sense, because less testosterone should surely mean less DHT, so surely you would have more hair. So they ended up finding that one of the most important bits is this enzyme called 5-alpha reductase. And 5-alpha reductase is really significant in lots of ways in the body, but one of the most important places where it's important is converting free testosterone to unbound testosterone that's not doing its thing in other places to DHT. So actually, 5-alpha reductase is pivotal in this link between testosterone and male pattern baldness, in making sure that, you know, testosterone does get converted to DHT or doesn't get converted. And therefore, you still get the benefits of having high, obviously, men should have high levels of testosterone to be healthy. And yet, low levels of DHT regulated so that they don't lose all their hair. And so that's basically and especially at the kind of hair follicle and the hair roots, a high presence of type 1 and type 2 5-alpha reductase is important in ensuring that not too much DHT is circulating and the hair doesn't fall out. So there are some medications. So a very popular one is finasteride, which is type 2 5-alpha reductase inhibitor, which obviously prevents the conversion of testosterone to DHT. And therefore, because you're preventing the conversion of testosterone to DHT, you're promoting hair growth or more inhibiting hair loss. So if we could find, let's say, there's probably nothing about just shaving that is going to inhibit 5-alpha reductase activity, but maybe you could have like a shaving product that does. So think like shaving gels. If you have like a shaving gel with a certain oil or a certain chemical in it that inhibits 5-alpha reductase activity, then potentially you could get a situation where, I guess, not shaving, not the act of shaving, but just the process of shaving could promote hair growth.
Does that exist? I was just going to say, like, is there?
I don't know. I looked. I can't remember if there was something about peppermint oil that may do that. And obviously, peppermint oil is in a lot of hair, like male hair products, like beard oils and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how reliable it is exactly. If you do a Google Scholar search on natural remedies to male pattern baldness, there's a trillion things. There's so many things that people tried out there. But I'm not, I mean, it's a very, one of the problems with it as well, I think, is it's a very, like heavily, there are lots of interests involved in that with like cosmetic and the cosmetic companies and stuff like that. So it's very hard to kind of sift through the research and see what's legitimate versus what is potentially corrupted. Yeah. So it's quite difficult to kind of get the good information. But yeah, I guess if you have like finasteride laced shaving cream, which I'm sure there is,
there must be.
Exactly. Yeah. There's some other ones as well. Like there's dutasteride as well, which is both a type 1 and type 2 5-alpha reductase inhibitor, which does the same thing. But apparently it's not approved in the US for some reason. I don't know about the UK though. But then, okay, a slightly better argument here. So there's another type of drug, another drug that you can take, which is not specifically for male pattern or androgenic alopecia, but just for general alopecia, and it's called minoxidil. And what minoxidil does is it basically dilates the small blood vessels and capillaries around the hair root beds,
mm-hmm.
and allows more blood flow. So more blood flow, more, you know, nutrients delivered, more potential for hair growth. And that's meant to help. So potentially the massaging of the scalp could increase blood flow. Obviously, it's also incredibly counterproductive in the sense that that massaging is also getting rid of the hair. So maybe it could grow back thicker.
What about hot showers and things? Like hot, because that like dilates, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know, because I've heard anecdotally that that's meant to be, isn't that meant to be bad for your hair? Hot showers?
Aren't cold showers? Oh, maybe. Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, it's one of those things that may just be garbage.
Yeah, because people say cold showers are the one, aren't they? Cold showers are like the answer to all our problems.
Yeah, but I'm not sure whether they're answer to our hair problems or other.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Basically, that's what I... It's not a specific paper. It's just you know, this is a possible way that we can construct or we can verify this myth, but we need that research to be done.
Well, maybe that's something. There you go. Oh, there's maybe a gap in the market for these shaving foams. Exactly. Having a little side hustle.
Yeah, I mean,
another one to add to our collection.
Although I think you would be hard pressed to convince a man to shave his head to grow his head hair. It kind of like you know, if you have a tuft of hair left, you're not going to want to sacrifice it for the possibility of growing.
It could be a shampoo.
I'm pretty sure there are finasteride shampoos. Yeah. I'm almost certain that there are. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I think the other thing is that there are like other implications of, like, you know, DHT is important in the prostate and stuff as well. So let's not even go into like systemic. Yeah, exactly. But
that's another topic.
Yeah, exactly. Topic for another day.
I found something also fun about shaving in, this is a little bit off piece, but that actually shaving your axilla with a blade rather than waxing or anything is actually better for odour. It actually it makes you not smell even Why better is that? Than soap. Because this paper said so. No, I'm joking. I read the abstract. I didn't get like that far, but they said the axilla clipped with, so they did it with clipping with scissors, wet shaving, waxing, and untreated, and odor evaluations were performed by
trained
assessors. Which I feel really sorry for the trained assessors. Immediately, 12 hours and 24 hours. And so basically, it's quite subjective, isn't it? And then further evaluations conducted 24 hours after that. Then they did a mean odour score found that blade shaving was better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a theory. So maybe it's because... Okay, so my, like, snap take on that is... I would think if I'm shaving with a blade, I'm going to be much more careful about preparing the area for shaving. So if I'm waxing, just whack it on, rip it off, who cares?
Yeah.
And I mean, you're not putting any pre-product on. You might put some like moisturizer on afterwards. Yeah. You're not going to put any product on before. If you're shaving with a blade, you're going to like prepare the air. You're going to put probably some perfumed stuff on there before you use the blade because you're like, I am dragging a blade across my skin. I want to be sure that, you know, it's completely clear. And I don't know whether they controlled for that. I mean, I imagine if you have some human beings trained as professional smell assessors or whatever, that there are quite a few variables there that are uncontrolled.
Well, I was thinking, like, waxing, they also said that that resulted in an immediate discomfort in... discomfort, like reduction in odour, but obviously it was way more uncomfortable, so people are more likely to shave with a razor than they are to wax. Also,
because isn't it could be like, okay, another one, it could be part of the stress response to the pain as well, that the pain of waxing may cause you to sweat more. Obviously, if you have that adrenaline spike from the pain, then you're going to sweat more, and then that could eventually contribute the odour as well. God, there's so much going on here.
They're saying
I was just gonna say, after waxing, it's recommended, well, I suppose that might be for most treatments, but after waxing it's recommended that you don't kind of put any product on it for a while because then it can burn. So the fact that you can't so you can't treat it or like, you know, kind of put any product for a couple of hours or it will burn. So that might be a reason.
They've said that a mechanism has been proposed for this.
Oh.
Retained axillary secretions and debris on the hair shaft act as a medium for the growth of microbes and odour production. So the axillary secretions and bacteria adhere firmly to the skin and the hair, making them difficult to remove if you've just washed with soap alone. But removing the hair then removes these secretions and microbes and subsequent odour, is what they're saying. But that wasn't the case with that. That tells us why removing hair is better, but it doesn't tell us why shaving is better than like waxing.
Yeah, and if anything, that would imply that waxing should be more effective, shouldn't it?
Because exactly.
You're removing the entire hair, you're not just removing the like extra dermal portion of the hair.
They've said that removing the dead skin by blade shaving traps the odorants. Yeah, I don't know. It says that it traps them.
I'm skeptical of this.
Yeah, I'm skeptical.
Razor blade was the best, but we're still not really sure why.
As to why.
For me personally, I don't think hair. What's the word? Hair regrowth is not something I'm gunning for at the moment. I'm kind of in the opposite camp at the moment. Hair removal.
We're supposed to make you more streamlined, isn't it, as well? Like, swimmers shave everywhere. Yeah. So if you're an athlete, I don't know if that would make you faster or better.
Yeah. I think the funniest one is cyclists. Cyclists who shave their legs and shave their arms. Mm. And there's very little research, shall we say, that actually makes a difference. Because I can kind of understand that it may increase drag in swimming a little bit, but does it really change your aerodynamics, the fine hairs that you have on your arms?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I think it's just an excuse to shave your legs, really.
Feel all nice.
I know. Everybody.
Some spa treatment.
Everybody likes having a nice, smooth leg that you could just kind of like, you know, I challenge anybody to say that isn't something that they enjoy having, even if it's like a guilty pleasure of theirs to shave their legs once in a while.
Do you shave your legs?
I have done in the past, but I don't.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I don't know many people many men that shave their legs, but like people do, don't they?
Yeah.
This has been a difficult myth to construct.
Yeah.
And I think we can fairly confidently say that this is not something that you should do if you want to keep. I mean, it does seem quite counterproductive, doesn't it? If you want to keep your hair, don't shave it off.
Don't get rid of it. Yeah.
No, don't get rid of it. Don't basically. Get rid of it.
Yeah. There are also lots of functions.
Keeps you warm,
exactly.
Keeps you warm, it also protects you from the sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go, we'll get sunburn.
Yeah. If you don't want to get sunburn on your head or anything.
Yeah, a little sunburn patch.
That'd be really sore.
Mm. I know. Yeah, and I think, like, just hair, I think there's a reason why there's such a huge cosmetic industry on hair, just because it's associated with kind of your look and how people perceive you, how you perceive yourself. So I think it's interesting.
It comes and goes in fashion as well. I think that, like, even you think about male chest hair, like,
mm-hmm.
that was like what in the 70s, like super like fashionable, like chest hair. And now it's like you see all these like male models and they're like completely bare, like no chest hair.
No, you know, actually, I think that's changing. I think it was like, especially like maybe 90s, 2000s and 2010s.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
Bare-chested seal men were like fashion.
Yeah.
Now it's swinging the other way. You see far more male models now with hairier chests. And you also see kind of slightly bulkier men, like less kind of skinny, more, like beefy. Mm-hmm. Now it's interesting how those things change. But I think we could do a whole episode on the cosmetics industry. Because there's just so much
to unpick. Myth successfully busted, I think.
That's not the aim of the. It's not meant to be the aim of.
We failed.
We failed. Both successful.
Well, this one is just too. This one is just too silly for us to really find a justification for it. But I think we at least managed to have a good discussion.
Yeah.
On this topic, and also talking about kind of how hair loss can sometimes happen and ways that you can go about stopping it. But shaping it all up is certainly not one of the recommended solutions.
If you want to get in touch, please email us at inspiredjournalpodcast@gmail.com or contact us through our social media. We've been Ellie, Natasha and Halima bringing you another episode of the Inspire Podcast. Please like or follow us on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter at Inspire Journal Podcast, and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify or any other podcasting platform. Don't forget to leave us a review so we can continue to bring you content that you love. We're really passionate about research and we'd love this podcast to reach as many people as possible. So please share with your friends and on social media. The Inspire Podcast is brought to you by the Inspire Student Journal. You can visit the journal's website at www.inspirestudentjournal.co.uk to find out more. See you next time.
We're students and we're all still learning, so we appreciate any comments, feedback, or error corrections in relation to the topics discussed. All research presented is correct at the time of recording. Any medical information provided does not constitute official medical advice. Consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be experiencing. Views expressed in the Inspired Journal podcast are of the hosts and guests and do not represent the views of the Inspired Student Journal or of the institutions we are attached to.